I want you to consider this afternoon what this principle of being born again is all about. Salvation should mean so much today because what a privilege it is to be able to know what's going to happen in the future and where we stand in relationship to living forever. We're going to speak a little bit this afternoon somewhat on this book of Revelation in the 8th chapter. And with this particular message, we want you to consider with us how late it is and how near the rapture is and how close we are to the tribulation period which will come upon this universe. The tribulation period, remember, is not for the believers. In John 16:33, the Word of God says, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." That doesn't mean the tribulation period. It means tribulation because we serve Jesus Christ. But in Revelation 6:16 and 17, the Word of God speaks of the wrath of the Lamb. And they said, "Under the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand?" This tribulation period is speaking of the wrath upon those that were not saved, that were lost, that were not born again. Now remember, the first 3.5 years will be peaceful coexistence. And the last 3.5 years will be the tribulation period. And I want you in Revelation, the 8th chapter, to follow along as you and stand as we read it from God's Word. Exactly what happened in that chapter, or what's going to happen. "And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them which were given 7 trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with their prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the 3rd part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up, all of it. The 2nd angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the 3rd part of the sea became blood. The 3rd part of the creatures which were living in the sea and had life died, and the 3rd part of the ships were destroyed. The 3rd angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were as a lamp, and it fell upon the 3rd part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the 3rd part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. The 4th angel sounded. The 3rd part of the sun was smitten, and the 3rd part of the moon, and the 3rd part of the stars, so as the 3rd part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a 3rd part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound. There's more to come. Father, use it today to speak to every heart in reality. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to look up here. I want every teenager. I want every teenager standing by the door up back. I want everyone to have their eyes up here. God has already anointed me. The presence of God is abiding with me, and I don't want that to stop. And I want you to look up here. I want you to listen. The Lord Jesus Christ has held back his wrath upon the earth for at least 6,000 years. The grace of God has been reigning in every dispensation. The love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. For nearly 6,000 years, Jesus Christ has faithfully held back worldwide judgment. But the Word of God clearly teaches us that the next advent to take place on the earth is the rapture, and I'll speak of that at the close of the message. But the rapture will take place prior to the tribulation period. It's found in the fourth chapter of Revelation, along with 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18, and 1 Corinthians 15:51, and Luke 17:33, 34, and 35. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. All teach the principle of a rapture as they complement one another. The rapture simply means that born-again, Bible-believing believers will be taken out of the universe before the tribulation period comes. So I want you to keep that in mind as we speak this message today. But after that, the day of God's wrath. The day of God's wrath. That's what it's called in Revelation 6, 16 and 17. It says, who shall be able to stand? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, God has not appointed us unto wrath, because Jesus Christ bore that penalty and bore that wrath on the tree at Calvary in 1 Peter 2:24. But it's for those that have never received Jesus Christ. What's going to happen? All of a sudden, heaven becomes silent. The scene in heaven has been one of singing, one of joy, one of praising God, one of worshiping Him in His holiness throughout all eternity. And heaven has never been silent. The angels have praised God. The spirits of just men made perfect in Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. The church of the firstborn, they're up there praising God. And God has been praised forever and throughout all eternity. In eternity past, He's been praised. And the noise of praise and the joy of praise, the activity of God's celestial government has always been one of joy and singing and worship and many other beautiful things. But now, in the eighth chapter of Revelation, the Word of God says that heaven was silent for the space of a half an hour. What was going to happen that made heaven stop its singing, that made the angels hush its singing, that made the saints of God stop praising Him? What was it that was going to make heaven silent? For the first time in all eternity, heaven was to be silent. What did it take to silence heaven? I'll tell you what it took. When heaven began to realize, and all the angels and all the spirits of just men made perfect, those born-again believers that are living there, when they began to realize what was to take place upon the earth, and they realized exactly what it was all about, for the space of half an hour. There was no singing. There was no praise. There was no worship. Heaven was just absolutely captivated by what was going to happen to the earth. They were spellbound, if you please. They were absolutely spellbound. And for the first time in all eternity, this happened. And then it happened. The angels begin to sound the trumpet. And one by one they sounded the trumpet. And this is what's going to happen upon this earth, I believe, before year 2000. I am not sure, but I believe it is. And I know it's going to happen to the earth, and I think it's going to happen before year 2000. In fact, I have a pretty good conviction that it's going to happen before a handful of years are over. Before a handful of years are over. This earth is going to see, before year 2000, Revelation 8, a literal reality here on this planet. Well, what's going to happen? The angels begin to sound the trumpets. The first angels sounded, and hail and fire mingled with blood were cast upon the earth. If you studied this closely and studied it along with Revelation, the 16th chapter, you'll understand what that means. Because there it describes the weight of the hailstone. If you look it up in the Greek, and if you look it up in its meaning, it's from 30 to 350 pounds per stone. And so the angel saw, blew the trumpet, and immediately hailstones came from 30 to over 300 pounds per stone. Is it any wonder that heaven was silenced? Is it any wonder the angels for the first time in eternity stopped singing? Is it any wonder that the spirits of just men made perfect, delivered from evil bodies who had been singing throughout eternity, along with their serving God, could no longer sing? They no longer had a song. Is it any wonder hail was to come upon the earth and people was to see hail, and some of the stones would weigh up to 350 pounds per stone, and some down to 30 pounds, but hail mingle with blood. And heaven was silent. And God says, I died for them on Calvary. I shed my blood. I've waited thousands and thousands and thousands of years. I've waited. And yet the earth goes on in its sin and its rejection of me and will not accept my grace and my way out. They will not accept my mercy, and they go on. And this day had to come to close out the tribulation period with ushering in the millennial reign so that a just God could consummate that thing in His justice, because His justice had already been characterized by unbelievable mercy. So the hailstones came, mingled with blood. And people were frantic, and they will be frantic, screaming, crying. But that's not all. The second angel sounded, as it were, mountains burning with fire were cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and people began to look to the mountains, and a huge giant of a mountain was taken and cast right into the sea, burning with fire. And people, you can imagine if you can, here it is, God has taken His hand off from nature, God has taken His hand off from order, and God says, this is what you're after. This is what you want. A life without God. A life without its center in Jesus Christ. You can have it. That's what it's all about. Look at the mountain as it rushes into the sea. Look at it. Look at it as the sea becomes filled with blood, and a third part of the sea became blood. Look at it, and the creatures in the third part of the sea died, and the ships were destroyed. Look at it as you see land literally right before your eyes dissolve and go into the water. Look at the ugly, monstrous scene that would certainly make any heart fill with fear. But that's not the only reason that heaven was silent. Then there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were as a lamp, and it fell in the rivers and in the fountains of water, and it was called wormwood, and some more died. And then the sun was smitten, and God changed its tilt, perhaps 10 degrees, and men began to be burned on their bodies, and great big massive sores took over their physical flesh, blistering sores, and yet they could not die. And then they began to blaspheme God and curse Him, but they could not die. And they cried out to the mountains to fall upon them and kill them, but the mountains would not. They tried to commit suicide, but they could not die. This was the day of God's wrath upon the inhabitants of the earth, and heaven was silent as it saw the wrath of God on sin, the wrath of God on disobedience. Heaven was silent. No more singing. They cannot sing now. No more praising God. They could do that, but they're not going to because of the scene on the earth. And they go to the fountains, but they're thirsty because the sun is blistering their bodies. But there is no fresh water. And they scream in anger and curse God and blaspheme Him because of His anger. And they go after water, but there is none. And their bodies completely boiled and sizzling with burns, but they cannot die. The hailstones have killed many. There's dead bodies all around them. The water has turned blood. The other waters that didn't turn blood, a third of them have become bitter. And creatures have died. And there's a terrible stench and odor that's unbelievable. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the tribulation period that's going to come upon those that reject Christ, I think, before year 2000. This is what's going to happen. And it's coming just around the corner. That's why I believe in intercession at all times of the day. That's why I believe in committing your heart to God, spirit, soul, and body. That's why I believe being faithful in the fellowships, even if it means driving miles. That's why I believe you have to get into a body that understands the throne ministry and put it in first place regardless what happens. That's why I believe that we need to get on our knees together, and if there's any sin, repent and turn our hearts over to a glorified throne ministry of a holy God. That's why I believe we don't have any time to fool around or waste with depression and discouragement. We need to be redeemed from that that's going on the earth apart from the life of God. And then the hailstones, the blood in the water, the sun turning its tilt, scorching man, and then an earthquake. What a time to have an earthquake. Men's hearts already failing them with fear, and now an earthquake. And it divides the city of Jerusalem in Revelation 16 into three parts. And many of you know, and you've read it yourselves, upon that right now there's a fault that goes from Turkey into the great city Jerusalem. And there's three faults in that city, in that mountain. And it's already, the faults are already, they're already there. God doesn't have to have them there, but He has them there. And the fault goes from Turkey to Jerusalem, way over, and it splits the city in three parts. The fault is already in the earth. And all of a sudden people look up and literally an earthquake is completely shaking the earth's surface, and it removes, it actually splits, and part of the earth goes into the water and part of it is just removed right before their eyes. Death all around, blood all around, hail all around, sun all around, and then He takes a third of the sun and covers it, and a third of the moon, and then the day becomes pitch black without a single ray of light, and it's pitch black. And this is the tribulation period.
This is the wrath of God upon children of disobedience. It's called the day of God's wrath in Revelation 6:17. Who is able to stand it? Who is able to stand it? Death, judgment, fear, cataclysmic things all around us. And man finds out what it's like to be alive without a God moving and intervening. To be alive without a church that's praying. They've already been raptured. To be alive without people that love God. This is their result. This is what they reap. They're living without a Christ. They're living without the Creator. They're living without the Sustainer's protection. Because He allowed the rain to come on the just and the unjust, but not now. This is their judgment. And friends, we believe with all our hearts. We are not sure, and I'm not setting dates, but I believe as a Bible student that studied many, many, many hours, and I believe with all my heart it'll happen within the next handful of years. But the Lord Jesus Christ has this to say in Isaiah 28:20. He told us 2,400 years ago. This is what He said. Come, shut thyself in my chamber. Shut the doors, and then my fiery indignation will be over in a moment. He said, I'll take you up in the rapture. Come in my chambers. Then shut the doors. Just 3.5 years and that stuff will be over. My fiery indignation. So I'll take you up. He predicted the rapture way back in Isaiah 28:20. Come thou my people. Enter into the chambers. He said. And in Luke 17:33 and 34. One will be taken. One will be left behind. And that does not mean Christians. That's talking about the unsaved, because the born-again believer, I don't care what book disagrees, there is no way that a true born-again believer could ever be left on this, because this is God's wrath, and God took all of His wrath out on Calvary on Jesus Christ. And that's an attack on redemption. I don't care if some favorite writer said it, it's no way, there's no way it can be. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not appointed His wrath unto us. In Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to us that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus took our wrath. And that's the reason that we love Him so deeply. And that's the reason that we're so deeply impressed with the need of being disciples, with the need of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, of the need of being loyal to God and loyal to one another and true in friendship. That's the reason there's such a tremendous need today to understand this last hour in history. In Revelation 3:10, Jesus said, because you've kept the word of my patience, I'll not allow the hour of temptation that's going to come upon all the earth to try it. I'll not allow it to come upon you. He uses the Greek word ek, which means, in the original Greek, which means taken out of. I take you out of it. I take you out of it. I don't deliver you in it. The Jews will be delivered in it, but I take you out of it. So He's going to take us out of it. And thank God for that. And Jesus Christ says in Jeremiah 5:4, what more could I do unto you than I have done to the Israel? What more could I do than I have done? I want you to see this afternoon that this tribulation that's going to take place upon this universe is for real. It's going to happen. And even as you hate cancer, and even as you hate the ambulance, and even as you hate these terrible things that happen to the universe, heart attacks, you hate them, but your hate for them doesn't change their reality. Even as you hate death and separation, and we all do, but it doesn't change death. Even as you hate old age, which you pass into eternity, providing you're not right with God, but that doesn't change it. There's nothing you can do to change it, but except believe Jesus Christ and be saved out of it, and then prepare everyone that you can to get saved so they won't have to face it, and that's our privilege. The tribulation period is coming. But glory be to God, we're going to be saved out of it. Now listen, Jesus Christ is going to take the born-again believers in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, out of it, and going to take them to heaven before it happens. In Revelation chapter 4, before Revelation 5 starts, the first three verses teach it beautifully. When he sees a door open in heaven, even as the Lord shall descend from a shout and of the voice of an archangel with an open door in heaven, in 1 Thessalians 4:16. And then the people that go up in the rapture shall see the rainbow. They'll see Jesus Christ on a throne, and they'll see these beautiful colors, and they'll see the blood of the Lamb symbolized by red around in that rainbow. And when we're taken up in the rapture, after the church age, and we're in the last part of the church age right now, and then we go up in the rapture, and we see that rainbow, and we see the throne, and the throne reminds us maybe of judgment, but instantly we see the rainbow, which tells us of mercy. We see the blood, which tells us our sins are covered. We see the blue, which gives us the beauty of God's majesty in heaven, and we see these beautiful colors in heaven, and God accepts us and takes us home out of the hour of temptation that will try the universe. And listen, what a blessed hope that is in Titus 2:13. And what a thrill to go home and be with Jesus Christ in the next few years and not to have to be objects of the tribulation or objects of God's wrath. Why does that leave us right now in these last few hours that we have? It leaves us entering into the throne ministry of Jesus Christ. If you're having problems, if you're having problems with your nerves, you should get on your knees and settle it with God and go to God and pray it through and let Jesus Christ and His love and grace meet the needs of your nervous system. And you should let Jesus Christ be your emotions. If you're having problem with your wife or husband, you should let Jesus Christ become such a partner that He'll give you the very life that's necessary to be a testimony in the midst of that situation. And whatever it is, you should learn with me that getting on our knees and praying, studying the Word of God and exchanging it beautifully, letting the Holy Spirit minister life through us, is the one thing that's a priority in our lives. And by the grace of God, you should make every moment count for God. And don't be the same as you were last month. Don't be the same as you were last year. Let Jesus Christ bring you into sacrifice. Let Jesus Christ bring you into obedience. Let Jesus Christ bring you into a powerful dedication. Let Jesus Christ come into your life and change you, whoever you are, and evangelize your soul and make reality, in essence, yours in the very priorities of Jesus Christ's Holy Spirit. Don't wait, and don't delay, and don't wander in the wilderness, and don't get occupied with these horizontal arguments and problems to deter you from the most important thing, Christ, because He's coming back. And I want you to think this afternoon with us that this scene upon the earth was so important that heaven was silent. And it really took something to silence the heavens. It really took something to stop all the beautiful praise of heaven. And yet it stopped. And if heaven is that concerned about the tribulation, how concerned we should be now when we can deliver people from it as God's mouthpiece. We can deliver people from it with God's Word and God's Spirit, through living the life in Jesus Christ and through faithfully getting occupied in ministering. We can deliver people from it and glorify the King and glorify Jesus and build up the church. And this is our opportunity. That's why I ask you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's why I ask you to be willing to give everything you've got to God. That's why I ask you, never mind what the world says, a weak, shallow Christianity. That's why we ask you this afternoon to learn how to pray, to learn how to pray. I've asked God to stir me up if He wants to in the middle of the night, and I want to obey Him. Stir me up at all times through His Spirit, because I want to just pray and intercede and use my priesthood office to its capacity in the last hour. That's why I want to be in the Word of God and share the truths in this last hour. That's why I want to lay my life down for the brethren in this last hour. In 1 John 3:16, that's why I want to be fervent in God's business. And that's why I want you to be. And listen, we are living, as 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of the time is at hand. And we're living in that. And so by the grace of God, will you go to God? Will you go to the Lord Jesus Christ and love Him and worship Him and so be filled with His purpose that the little horizontals will not affect you? Will you go to God and lay your life before Him, not just one time, but once every morning and every day, and just become available, and don't let your petty differences, your petty arguments, your little puny desires, your lust, your flesh, all of that interfere? Don't let it. This is such an urgent time for you. It's such an urgent time with me. And I just want to talk to you heart to heart about the reality of what this is all about. Because I don't know when that rapture is coming, but I am just as convinced as I'm breathing that that trumpet is going to sound. I'm just as convinced as I'm walking on this platform that that trumpet's going to sound, and Jesus is going to come in the clouds at any moment and take us up in the air to be with Him, and then we'll go to and forever be with the Lord. And it's coming so rapidly that the Lord wanted us to check us with this message today. And then I'm just as sure after that that the earth will be just a terrible massacre the last 3.5 years that'll end in the Battle of Megiddo and the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where human blood will be 200 miles long and 10 miles wide and 6 feet deep in the Valley of Jehoshaphat in the Battle of Armageddon. Think of it. 200 miles long, the Word of God says accurately, 10 miles wide and 6 feet deep, with human blood from the last great world war at the close of the tribulation period. That's the scene that's coming. That's what's going to end it all, to usher in the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. That's what's going to happen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?